Chapter 2. Vince. A day of public triumph ends in private recrimination as our hero submits to his baser instincts, which shall not be disclosed in more titillating detail in this brief synopsis for fear of corrupting younger readers.
It was the day that New Wave died and rock and roll took over. May 29th, 1983. Day 2 of the 3-day US Festival. Circling above hundreds of thousands of kids in a helicopter, the first helicopter we'd ever been in, it seemed as if the scene on Sunset Strip on Friday and Saturday nights had suddenly been transported to a field in the middle of nowhere on a sweltering hot spring afternoon. Ozzy Osbourne, Judas Priest, the Scorpions, and Van Halen were performing in front of 300,000 kids. And so were we. Every city in America must have sprouted its own equivalent of the Sunset Strip. This wasn't an underground thing anymore. It was a mass movement. And finally, we were all meeting to put a new nation on the map. Looking down on it all from the helicopter, with a bottle of Jack in my left hand, a bag of pills in my right hand, and a blonde head bobbing up and down in my lap, I felt like the king of the world. That lasted for about a second, then I got scared shitless. We only had one album out, and it had just grazed the pop charts at number 157. Most of these kids probably didn't even know us. They'd been in the heat all day and would probably hate us because they were impatient for Ozzy and Van Halen. I took another swig of Jack as we landed and met our new managers, Doc McGee, who was basically a drug dealer with good business sense, and Doug Thaler, his yes man. The guy who had signed us to Elektra, Tom Zutaut, was there with his girlfriend, a surprisingly hot chick considering Tom's luck with women. I went to the dressing room to put on my makeup and costume and see what I could do for the line of girls and reporters waiting outside. After what seemed like just a few minutes, there was a frantic knocking on the door. "You're supposed to be on stage 10 minutes ago," Doc yelled. "Get the fuck out there!" From the moment we played Shout at the Devil, I knew that we had made it. I had nothing to worry about. These people had never heard the song before. We had hardly even begun recording the album. But by the end, they were singing along, pumping their fists into the air. I looked out, and with every word I sang, with every guitar lick Mick played, the crowd rippled in response. I understood then why rock stars have such big egos. From the stage, the world is just one faceless, shirtless, obedient mass as far as the eye can see. Mick left the stage first and walked back to the trailer that doubled as our dressing room. Waiting for him inside was his girlfriend, who we called The Thing, a big, mean brunette whose sleeves were rolled up above her elbows. As soon as we walked in the door, after having played the biggest concert of his life, she hauled off and punched him square in the face without a word of explanation. Back in Manhattan Beach, she would sometimes get drunk, beat him up, and kick him out of the house, after which Nikki or I would get a desperate phone call from Mick asking us to pick him up at his doorstep. Afterward, for me, it was a blur of alcohol, drugs, interviews, and chicks. I remember walking off stage and seeing Tom Zutaut's girlfriend, who had stripped down to a leopard skin bikini because it was so hot outside. I grabbed her, pressed my sweaty face against hers, and stuck my tongue down her throat. She pressed her body against me and bit my lip. I brought her back to the trailer, past Mick, who was sitting on the steps holding his head in his hands, and buried my face in the girl's tits. Just then there was a knock on the door, and a squeaky voice said, "Hey, it's Tom, can I come in?" "What do you want?" I asked, worried that he had seen me. "I just wanted to tell you that you were, amazing. That was the best show I've ever seen you play." "Thanks, dude," I said. "Listen, I'll be out in a minute. I just need a little while to chill out." Then I tore off his girlfriend's bikini and fucked the shit out of her while he waited outside. Nikki turned red when I told him what I had done. "You fucking asshole," he screamed. "Can't you keep your dick to yourself? That dude signed us. If he finds out, he's gonna hold it against us and seriously fuck up our new album." "Sorry," I replied. "But that's only if he finds out."